Now, Mark James on Sports Radio WEEI.
This was about a game where you know who the damn quarterbacks are.
Mark with a C.
Mark James knows how to fill time.
Mark with a C.
Oh, look. No. I get this every week. If you need a timeout, come on down and call it. I mean, come on, fellas.
Mark, you sit in your chair and shut up.
Mark James with an M. He's correct.
You're not on it. You're not on it at all.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
For me, it's not really about the loss, it's about the attitudes that we're playing with. You know, guys are, you know, hanging their heads. It's not fun, man. Like, it's not fun. We're not competing at a high level. You know, even though we're winning, it's still not fun. You know, I don't see the joy in the game. I watch all these other teams on the league, guys up on the bench, they're jumping on the court, they're doing all, you know, other stuff that this look like is they're enjoying, you know, their teammate success, they're enjoying everything, and they're playing together, and they're playing to win. And when I look at us, I just see a bunch of individuals.
Thank you, Marcus Morris. I am Mark with the C. James. And this is the Mark James Experience here. You know, we get an email every weekend of the weekend programming, and I didn't even call it this. I have to give the one and only Chris Curtis from Mutt and Callahan. He just sent out an email, and he called it the Mark James Experience. And I thought, kind of like the greatest guitarist of all time, Jimi Hendrix, the Jimi Hendrix Experience, the Mark James Experience. I like that. So kudos to Chris Curtis. Kudos to you, Curtis. You did something good, man. That's, I guess I don't have all the brilliant ideas. You know, I don't have all the great nicknames and, you know, like Phony Michelle and Bad Stevens. You know, I don't have all of them. I get a lot of them and Gordinary Hayward, but Chris Curtis with the Mark James Experience. I like that. All right, back to the phones. Without any further ado, Scott and Nashua. What's up, Scott?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hey, do you know the famous line from Good Will Hunting where he mentions Nashua?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, Matt Damon's in a therapy session with Robin Williams, who's his therapist, and he goes, I think I'm going to go get a spread in Nashua and tend to the sheep up there. And he goes, I don't know. They got into it. And then Matt Damon goes, go F yourself. He goes, you're the shepherd. Yeah, you got to watch it. It's great. But he goes, so every time I see Nashua, I think I'm going to get a little spread in Nashua and tend to the sheep up there.
Yeah, it's a great place. It used to be the safest place in America to live, the best place in America a couple of years back.
Wait. It's not safe anymore?
Well, I mean, it's probably safe still, but I'm not sure if it's the safest place. But, I mean, it's when I moved up there 15 years ago, it was called the best place to live in America or something like that.
The safest, and
the best.
Yeah, and not to mention the value you get other than, you know, living near the city. So there's that, too.
Yeah, the best of both worlds. What I was going to say to you was I agree totally with you about Brad Stevens. I mean, I think he's a really good coach, but I think you're right about it. I think he's lost the respect of Kyrie Irving and, you know, maybe other players too. But secondly, you know, he will get him to the, you know, deep in the playoffs possibly, but I think they need a change because, like you said, just the chemistry of the team, and I think somebody else might get a better response out of them. And secondly, I think as great of a player as Kyrie Irving is, I mean, I think he's the top five. He might be the best player in the league. Maybe you could argue that. But I think he's like a cancer to the team. Like, he's holding the Celtics hostage right now.
Interesting. By the way, you're not the first one, Scott, who's brought that up. Why do you think that Kyrie's a cancer?
Well, I mean, he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. But look what he did with Cleveland. Like, you know, they traded him, and we stole him from Cleveland. So right there's a red flag. I mean, he's a great player, but it's like his attitude, like, he was all on board on re-signing with the Celtics. Now he's playing games with them, saying he might sign with them. You know, he's not coming out and saying anything, but it's all speculation.
Well, yeah, the ask me July 1st. But
right.
Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe, who does an excellent job covering this team, said to me the other night on Nesson, he said, you know, Kyrie, it was a Friday morning. It was an early practice at MSG. He probably just was a little bit annoyed and perturbed and the media asking the question. So instead of going off like a little petulant prima donna, little bitch like Kevin Durant did this week, he just said, ask me July 1st. Is it the right way to handle it? No, but actually it's better than what Durant did the other night when he's just like, he basically called out the media and just acted like a little baby.
Yeah, I just think, you know, I mean, Kyrie, you know, he is one of the best in the league, but I think he's holding them hostage. And you know, I know to get Anthony Davis here, they have to re-sign Kyrie. That's what everybody's saying.
Right.
But why can't they just let Kyrie walk and then still try to, you know, But I guess it's kind of double edged sword because they have to trade a lot of assets to get Anthony. So
right, no doubt.
The the Celtics are basically held hostage right now, and until Kyrie makes up his mind what he's going to do, next year's future is uncertain. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, and like everybody else, that I'd hate to trade Jason Tatum away because the guy, he's going to be a great player. You know,
I keep vacillating back and forth on that. Scott, by the way, my good buddy at Nesson, senior executive producer extraordinaire Sean Allen, who lives in Nashua, who's listening, said Nashua has been voted the best city in America a few times. So hang your hat on that. There you go, man.
That's awesome.
There you go.
I'm from Malden, but my home's Nashua now. I love it up there. It's great. Like you said, it's the best of both worlds. It's like 45 minutes from Boston. It's great. You know, it's a great place to live.
Yeah, and not having to deal with the traffic in the city. And, like, did you see the other night all those folks waiting at the T for the MBTA, waiting at the T, and they were stuck? And after, I'm like, man, thankfully I do not have to go through that every day. What a nightmare. What a logistical nightmare that was. Jack in Beckett, you're up next. What's up, Jack?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Man, you're the first guy that has called out Brad. I tweeted out last night that we got out-coached the last two games.
Jack, I've been calling out Brad Stevens now for close to 3 months. I've been seeing it with this team when they got off to a horrific start, and he's been getting this proverbial pass here in Boston. Yep. And it's like, hey, you know, like John Farrell and you know, like for whatever reason, John Farrell in his first season won a World Series. Okay,
well, let me tell you what's going on.
Right.
Right. First of all, there's a couple things going on. We can't play defense. We can't rotate on defense. We can't defend a pick and roll. You know, and I think that quite honestly, Coach and Danny Ainge are enamored and they're afraid to call out Kyrie. Okay. Now Kyrie, look, I get it. The guy's got a ton of talent. He can pretty much make and shoot any shot that he wants. However, great players make great basketball decisions on the floor consistently. And if you look at Kyrie, he doesn't always make the great basketball decision. Sometimes he'll go into a double and triple team where he has no business going in. And he'll
He does do that.
Okay, oh. And he gets squashed. And I see this consistently. Now, a great coach like Belichick calls out Brady in the room, regardless of who's around, and that's how you earn everybody else's respect, by treating everybody the same. Now, a guy like Mike Tomlin doesn't get everybody's respect because he tells his players, well, I don't treat everybody the same, but I'm fair to everybody. You can't coach that way. You got to be like Belichick. You call everybody out, and you treat everybody like a team to get everybody to play like a team. And I think these young kids are, quite honestly, they're looking at him out of the side, and it's like, you know, this isn't a team. You know, Kyrie gets to do whatever he wants. No, I disagree. I think until Kyrie signs his contract, they're afraid. They're kind of like stepping on eggshells with him. Hmm. They're afraid he's going to walk.
Yeah.
They don't want to upset him.
Well, and here's the thing, too, and Bridget, if you can find it, and I'm just calling this out in the air, but if we get Danny Ainge sound of what he said about the whole engagement thing, that didn't exactly, if you're a Celtics fan, make you sleep any better. Saying, well, it's an engagement, and on July 1st will be a marriage. By the way, great analogy by Danny Ainge, but it's like, it's almost like he's checking, hey, honey, is that wedding still on July 1st? Oh, just checking. If you have to consistently ask your soon-to-be, hopefully better half, if the wedding is still on in July, ooh, that's not a solid relationship. That is something that I don't know. And you could say what you want, say what you will. And for me, it's like I'm torn. I mean, I just know the superstar that Kyrie is. He's mercurial. Okay, look that up. That's what he is. He's not Brady. Brady says all the right things. Brady does all the right things. Kyrie will have his moments, and it's like, you know, it was like if I was standing next to him when he went off on how he just voluntarily offered the information that he called his big brother and LeBron. It's like you inject him with sodium pentothal, truth serum, and he you shouldn't do that. There's certain things that you say to the media, and it's like, here's how I took it after he said it. I'm like, you just called out your teammates and said, yeah. Yep, I was like them at one point. I was like them at one point. And now I'm seeing the way they are to me. Not you, you're like, if you want to do that, do that behind closed doors. I don't have as much of an issue with him calling out Gordon Hayward on that play in Orlando where he sort of undressed him and emasculated him basically for not passing him the ball in the inbounds play. I don't really have an issue with that. But I do have an issue with him, and he said it a bunch of times this year, like, I'm not getting the shots I want, but I got to sacrifice for the betterment of the team. So he's calling out these guys, and he's been doing it all season. But I think coming from a guy like Marcus Morris, that meant a lot. I love Marcus Morris, and he has had a terrific season. And the one thing about Marcus Morris I love more than anything, when you stick a microphone in front of that guy's face, he will not give you jock talk. He will not give you coach speak. He's just going to say what's on his mind. And I applaud Marcus Morris for doing what he did last night. Someone needed to say it on public record, and kudos to him for doing so. Phil in New Hampshire, thanks for holding, Phil.
Hey, thank you. Some like 90% of your callers need to watch Tropic Thunder and not go full art on. A lot of this is like ridiculous. First of all, Brad Stevens is a top three X&O's coach in the league. Brad Stevens now has elite talent for the first time.
Whoa, hold on. Back up. Whoa. He's a top three X's and O's coach?
Absolutely.
Okay. So,
what other coach would have taken that lack of talent that we had last year and brought them all the way to the end?
I'm going to give you three coaches. Let me retort. Well, allow me to quote Jules in Pulp Fiction. Allow me to retort. Not a top three coach. He's not better than Popovich. He's not better than Steve Kerr, and he's not better than Mike Budenholzer. Mike Budenholzer took the Atlanta Hawks to the Eastern Conference Finals, and Mike Budenholzer this season in TD Garden has coached circles around Brad Stevens. So there's three right there. Go ahead to your next point.
I do not agree.
Well, you're wrong.
I agree that Budenholzer is good. Popovich, yeah, 15 years ago maybe. But anyway, let's go back. I regress.
He's not better than Billy Donovan either.
I digress.
Okay, you are digressing. Go ahead.
All right, he's a victim of his own success last year. Because now what happened is the young guys, 90% of the issues that we have, guess where it goes to? It goes to Jaylen Brown. Kid's got to be the smartest kid in the room and he thinks he's an alpha dog. So now what happens is you have young kids who don't know their role stepping in a situation where the coach is also afraid to stand up for the veterans and lay the foot down because he's young. Don't forget, you said the thing about Mike Krzyzewski. All right, 35, 40 years ago, you're saying he couldn't have coached Kyrie? Because Kyrie wouldn't have respected him back then either.
But this is not 30, 40 years ago, Phil. This is 2019.
But I'm saying he's not Chauncey Billups. He would have been the young gun coming up.
Well, Chauncey Billups would have the respect of the players in that locker room.
And now what happens is you sit there and you have a team with young kids who have this leadership mentality now because of last year. Then the veterans come in. By the way, Gordon Hayward, I think people need to realize that it took Paul George 2 years to even get close to what he was.
Fair enough. So we'll hold out.
But let's go. So you got Gordon Hayward getting minutes. Jaylen Brown don't like it. Jaylen Brown needs to be told, shut up and know your role. This is a veterans team. The best thing that right now Brad Stevens could do would be to pull Kyrie in and say, all right, first of all, you call me coach. Secondly, what should we do? How do we handle this situation to get this team cohesive? What do you want? Because this is a stars league. And unfortunately, Anthony Davis is directly attached to Kyrie Irving. Kyrie don't stay. There is no Anthony Davis. All we're doing is making a giant trade and giving away everything for a year because Anthony Davis don't want to play here without Kyrie Irving.
Well, you don't make the trade until Kyrie resigns.
Exactly. So now what you got to do is, if this is really a goal, Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens need to say, this is the goal? Okay, we bring Kyrie into the loop here. We give him a little, like, listen, what do I do right now to handle this situation? What would you do, Kyrie? Give me your input.
By the way, LeBron runs the Lakers. He ran the Cavaliers, so sure.
Basically you're saying, like, look, my system works. You know my system works. You've watched my system work. However, we have a little disconnect with communication right now. These young players are actually thinking that they're equals with the veterans. And in the NBA, that's stuff don't fly.
Right. By the way, nice say there. Phil, I appreciate the phone call. You know your basketball, but don't tell me Brad Stevens is a top three X's and O's coach. Popovich, Steve Kerr, Budenholzer, Michael Malone, Billy Donovan, and how about Eric Spoelstra? Eric Spoelstra, who survived LeBron. He's the only coach that did not get fired in his tenure during LeBron. LeBron got Mike Brown fired, David Blatt fired. Was going to get Luke Walton fired. Couldn't get Eric Spoelstra fired because Pat Riley's like, no, you're not going to run this team. You know, and Danny Ainge, I believe, is going to do that. I believe the Celtics are scared Kyrie's going to leave, and they should be. I think right now, you flip a coin. You flip a coin, and you hope that Matthew Slater is calling it, and it's going to be the right one. Tails never fails or whatever. Hopefully Matthew Slater's calling it because he seems to have luck on the overtime coin tosses. But I could see Kyrie Irving joining Jimmy Butler and Anthony Davis with the Knicks and them drafting Zion Williamson, and then they're automatically better than you. Automatically. If the Knicks get the number one pick, they get Kyrie Irving, and what if they get Durant? Forget about Anthony Davis. I'd rather have Durant than Anthony Davis. You know, and Durant can shed that label of only going to a winner when they were already winning before you got there. You go to the Knicks, I mean, it's a pathetic team. So, yeah, if I'm the Celtics, I would be very, very worried. John in D.C. What's up, John?
Yeah, how's it going? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, okay, so I have 2 points. And this is kind of dating back to last season. I've kind of been on that train about Brad kind of being overrated. But I don't even think he's better. All the names you just called out are 100% right. From Spoelstra to
yep.
Budenholzer to Pop,
yeah,
to the Kerr. He's not even better than Mike Millen. Nate McMillan.
No, he's not. By the way, I love Nate the Great.
McMillan took the Cavs to Game 7 with less talent than the Celtics last year.
Mm-hmm.
When he was on the Pacers. But the main problem to me. Okay, because Brad is cool. At the end of the day, Brad is overrated, but he's still a formidable coach. So I'm not gonna go too much on him. I think the biggest problem, dating back to last season we would have won like 68-70 games, like you know the war, like how the Warriors did a couple of years ago. If we had a real center, I'm on record saying I honestly think Al Horford is the worst. I don't care how many good things he does, like the passing and all that. I think he's the worst starting center. The worst starting center in the league. He can't rebound. He can't really set screens for anybody because he's a 6'8", 6'9", at best center. Literally, we've lost so many games dating back to last season just off rebounding. He literally can't rebound.
Yeah, the Celtics, by the way, going back to the Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, Isaiah Thomas era. The Celtics have had trouble rebounding for a while.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I remember those days when they had Jay Crowder,
right.
Smart. Like they were like literally one of the worst rebounding teams
yeah.
in the whole league.
Yep.
So it's like we literally. I mean, I'm John.
Can I listen? I'm not trying to lead the witness on the stand here, but can I just ask you? Like you know basketball, I can tell. Would you have an issue if the Celtics get bounced in the first or second round? If you were if I was Danny Ainge, I would look. I just have a premonition about Chauncey Billups. Would you look at Chauncey Billups as a head coach here?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
I actually would.
Okay, good.
I would.
Good.
I would. But see, so yeah. And then with Brad, problems with Brad is sometimes I think he tries to overthink the room. A lot of the plays, okay, don't get me wrong. I know he's good with motion offense, but a lot of the plays I see him running sometimes get us burnt. A lot, and we do a lot of stupid things too. Like, we're probably the only team in the league that highly emphasizes the whole mouse in the house tactic where you have the smaller defender on the guy and you did we're in 2019. You can't be running back to the basket plays, ISO plays like that too much because you're going to get burnt on those.
Yeah.
This league, today's league is about playing face up. You literally, I don't care if the defender is smaller on you. You can't be dumping it down in a post like 40% of the game.
There was one guy last night, John, I know you know this because we've got one here and Mark is smart, but there's one guy who, God, he would be tenacious if he was here. And he's not, you know, certainly not a great shooter, but man, this dude has given the reigning MVP, Russell Westbrook, so many fits. And I mean, actually, he's owning rent space for free in Russell Westbrook's head. And you saw him last night. His name is Patrick Beverley. That dude is a defensive killer, and that's the mentality. That's what Marcus Smart has. Those type of guys you need in the play. Like the Celtics, what would have taken to trade for Patrick Beverley? Probably nothing. Nothing. Could have probably gotten for Daniel Tice. And you could have gotten, like, that's a guy that you need here because he will frustrate the hell out of the opposing team's best player. I'm telling you, they used to call Ruben Patterson the Kobe killer. Well, he's the Russell killer. He is. He is, like, and you saw him last night. You need pit bulls like that. 617-779. So, I'm not saying fire Brad Stevens. I'm not saying that now, but I am saying that if the Celtics get bounced in the first or second round, Danny Ainge needs to reconsider the head coaching position. He needs to do this. But I got to tell you, I am pleasantly surprised about the number of calls we have gotten here today on how many of you are no longer giving Brad Stevens a pass here and are willing to put his job on the line. I like it. I like because you have to event when you blow back-to-back games to inferior teams of an 18-point lead and a near 30-point lead last night. Did you hear the boos cascade TD Garden last night? I mean, my God, you would have thought that like Carl Crawford and Adrian Gonzalez were sitting courtside and John Farrell. You would have thought that those three guys were sitting together courtside. The boos, and justifiably so. Because this comes back to coaching. All right, we'll get back to more of your phone calls. 617-779-7937. How do we fix this?
This is Mark James on WEEI.
You know, now that football's over, we don't, we just got fully, everybody had their fun this week. The Duck Boat Parade, the sixth time in the last 18 years, and 12 titles overall from this city. Six of those by the Patriots, four by the Red Sox, and one each by the Celtics and Bruins. If I had to put money right now on which team, either the Celtics or Bruins, would win the next title, I don't know if I would do it on either. Both of these teams are at a crossroads, and just when I think that they're starting to go on the right track and they're getting close to that part, like the Bruins to me, as this team's currently constructed prior to the deadline coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow, I mean, if this team doesn't make a move, I don't see them making a run, especially not with the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Celtics. I just don't know what Celtics team is going to show up in the playoffs. And the one thing, and people can count on that, and I know Joel Embiid said Celtics-Sixers isn't a rivalry. They kick our ass every time. He was referring to the Celtics, and he's not wrong. But this is a different Sixers team, man. They have Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. This is a different Raptors team. Now Valanciunas wasn't even playing. They got Mirotic. They got Kawhi Leonard. This isn't Toronto from a year ago with DeMar DeRozan. This is the Toronto with Kawhi Leonard and Marc Gasol. This is Milwaukee with a great head coach. And now they get Mirotic. Now they've got Chris Middleton, which they had last year, but they got Brogdon, who stepped up. Eric Bledsoe stepped up. All these other teams have gotten better. The Celtics have stayed the same. And we thought with Gordon Hayward coming back, it would be a huge shot in the arm. It hasn't been. It just hasn't been. 617-779-7937, Paul in Abington. What's up, Paul?
Hey, so many factors to really touch on here. I always try to remind myself that Brown's in his third year, Tatum's in his second year, a young team on that end. But just real quick, you made a reference to the coaching standards in the league and where the coaches rank and everything. And I don't know where to put Stevens. I think he is a top 10 coach.
Top 10, yes. Top 10,
maybe
yes.
Maybe that's a homer in me talking.
No, he's a top 10. He's a top 10. But the guy was saying he was a top 3. I was like, come on.
The debate I have over any of this, and it's no different than the greatest of all time for different sports, and you can talk about it's great bar talk. But when you talk about a guy like Popovich as an example, and you still put him as a top three coach, and I'm looking at the paper right now, and they're 32-26. You know, they've still got Aldridge, and they've got
DeRozan.
DeRozan. You know, so you know, I even look back to you know the Bulls and Lakers days with the retired coach. I'm drawing blanks in now for some reason, but you know, he goes to the Knicks and blows the team up basically. You know, these guys, you know, it's all that.
Oh, Mike D'Antoni?
No. The legendary coach.
Oh, Pat Riley.
No, the other guy with the glasses and the.
Oh, Kurt Rambis.
No, drawing blank.
All right, never mind.
Anyways, but what I'm getting at is that it brings up always that debate as to what makes the team. Is it a coach or is it the players?
The players. The players do, but the coach needs to get. He needs to maximize the team's potential out of the players.
I get that. And right now, I mean, I look at the Celtics team, and I've talked about this with a few friends of mine recently. You know, I personally think that, you know, Hayward, I don't know what to expect with that. You can't predict an injury. Nobody can. So that's kind of part of, you know, the bad equation. You didn't expect this to happen. So I think Tatum has digressed. I don't know where Brown stands. He was a number three pick. I don't know how good he's ever going to be, even though he's only in his third year. You know, Irving, I just feel right now is his head's all over the place. And until you get him on record, or Stevens or Ainge on record, which you won't, distinctively saying, this is what I'm going to do, we don't have any clue. So I don't think that he's going to be back. I just don't feel that way. I don't think we're going to end up with Davis either way. I just don't think Ainge is going to make that trade for the sake of just giving up half his team. I really don't believe that. I think he feels that he's got the team in place. And personally, I think Stevens is here for the next, I think he's here for the next 10 years. Him, Ainge, Grousebeck, they all have this connection to each other. And Stevens is their guy going forward because they know they've got the young talent to develop and continue to work with. I agree. They didn't make any moves. They didn't have to make any moves, and they really couldn't make any moves because who are you going to move on that team that, you know, you don't want to give up anybody, but you'd have to get something. There was nothing they were going to do.
Well, they did trade Jabari Bird to Atlanta for cash and to free up a roster spot, which could be used maybe on Marcus Morris's twin brother Markieff, who's just released, or
yeah, but you're gonna get another Greg Monroe. You don't need another player added to the mix right now in terms of that. You're gonna get 12 to 15 minutes from the guy. There's nobody coming in here to take.
But here's the one thing about Brad Stevens where it's different than college. You don't need to run 9-10 deep in the playoffs. You got to keep your rotation short to about 6, maybe 7. You don't need to, you know, you got to keep the same guys in there, and they have to be the ones to will you. This isn't March Madness. This is the NBA playoffs where look at Golden State's rotation. Okay, they'll throw Kevon Looney and Andre Iguodala, but that's it. Like, they don't have a deep bench.
Oh, great.
Livingston.
I agree with all of that. So whoever you're getting up off the waiver, whatever, all this stuff, buying out a contract deal, that guy's not going to come in and get lucrative minutes come playoff time. These other guys are all ahead of whoever that person may be. I think that, you know, personally, yeah, make it Lopez, make it Markieff Morris, make it there's a center from the Clippers they mentioned in the paper. But, you know, there's a lot of guys to choose from, but they're not coming in to take minutes from anybody. That's just, I don't know. That doesn't matter. That's not going to make us win a championship.
No. At this juncture, the Celtics army, the soldiers they have are the ones that they have. I mean, yeah, you could add Markieff Morris or Enes Kanter. You could, but it'll make an incremental difference. Enes Kanter, I like him. He's a double-double game, but he's allergic to defense. He does not play defense. All right, final segment. I will get to your phone calls coming up next. You want to get in to touch upon this. You got one more segment to do so. 617-779-7937.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
Effort not there. The practice is all we want. If the effort not there, then we'd be playing against pros. Anybody can make shots. Professional, anybody can, you know, score the ball. If the effort not there, then we out of luck.
Scary Terry Rozier. That was the worst loss of the season last night. Wow, when you're an 11.5, 12-point home favorite and you're up by 28 and you lose by 11, that should never happen. I thought last night's game was, even when Kyrie went out, like, oh, whatever. They're up by 28. And it's like, and then you like, you change it and then you come back. You're like, whoa, this is a game. And then all of a sudden the Clippers go on a run. And the Celtics just like, you know, and I know a different team will hopefully show up Tuesday night when they're in Philly against the, what they're calling the Fantastic Five down there with a PH instead of the F, but inexcusable. And it has to lie at the feet of Brad Stevens, who has not done his job this year as Celtics coach. Nobody has gotten less out of more talent than Brad Stevens. You give Mike Budenholzer this team. You give Eric Spoelstra this team. You give Steve Clifford from the Magic this team. This team would be in much better position, and I think that you would feel much better about them. But Brad has gotten a pass for way too long, but no longer from me. Mike in Wakefield. What's up, Mike?
Mark James. I'm never going to let you live down that trending that you did.
Why? What did I say?
Oh, well, you're like, it's Mark James, and you're like, he does it all the time.
Oh, no.
I'm never going to let you live that.
Oh, time. All right. Yeah.
How we doing today? You doing good?
Yes.
All right. I agree with you about Brad Stevens. I think he's gotten a little bit too much rope.
Yep.
I think that he needs to stop playing favorites in the locker room and you know, get on his boy Gordon a little bit. Did you see the play last night? I think they were either tied or they were down by three. And Gordon Hayward goes to cross up some guy near the three-point line and just leaves the ball behind him. Like, he left, the ball was still there bouncing.
Yes.
Like, it looked like me out of, like, the rec league, you know?
The Sunday Y rec league.
Like, okay, you know, like when you play in the playground and there's a bump in the concrete and the ball goes a different direction?
Yeah.
That's literally what just happened last night. And I couldn't be more. And then there was like a 7-point swing within 35 seconds after that. So I'm all set. Gordon Hayward experiments me.
Yeah, well, I caught a few weeks ago and people thought I was harsh. But after that goal, if you go back and watch that Golden State game, Mike, I called him, and let me tell you something, I called him garbage Hayward, and people are like, that's harsh. I go, yeah, to the word garbage, because garbage was better than Gordon Hayward was.
Oh, what's the other one I've heard of? Gordonary Hayward?
Yeah, Gordonary Hayward, yes.
I'm all set. I really am. And you know what?
Well, Mike, do you give him another year because of the took Paul George 2 years, or do you have you seen enough?
I mean, yeah, you got to give him another year because he's signed up for so long.
Oh, dude, they owe him after this year. By the way, and I love bringing this up, which really riles up the Gordon Hayward apologists out there. Mike, he makes more money this year, than Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, and the Super Bowl MVP Julian Edelman does combined.
That's just unbelievable. It really is. And the thing is, you couldn't trade him right now for a bag of basketball.
No.
That's the problem. But I mean, and you know what? The Celtics have their opportunity to get rid of him if they were going to trade Kyrie, Jalen Brown, Gordon Hayward, and a couple picks for Anthony Davis.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Mike, because your phone call, we're up against it, is that I don't think that Gordon Hayward's, he's damaged goods. Who's going to want him for? He's owed $68 million. He's getting $34 million a year for the next 2 years. Are you kidding me? That guy stole a check from this city more than Jack Clark did. I mean, Jesus, more than Carl Crawford. All right, thanks to Bridget. Producing did an excellent job. Moved up the producer ranks really quickly here. And just did an excellent job, Bridget. Appreciate everybody called, everybody listen. And I will see you next Saturday with Dickerson right here on WEI. NBA action coming up right here next on WEEI.